Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I hope you're rejoicing. I'm so glad to have you with us today, wherever you are. I'm grateful for your presence. I send you the love of God. And I am excited about the message today. I'm going to be teaching today on a very, very, probably one of the most significant questions for so many people today. And that question is, how do you know who to marry? Wow, it is a very important message. And I believe this word is going to give clarity of direction to somebody's life. And to the married people, don't you tune off. Don't you turn away. This is for you too, because you have sons and daughters. You have children and grandchildren who need to be taught how to know who to marry. And you need to know, parents, what your role is when a child wants to get married. I believe this is the most critical question beyond accepting Jesus for everyone's life. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you for joining us. Have a marvelous day. God bless you. Father, we honor you today. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We bless you and praise you. We worship and adore you. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for the activities of our limbs. Thank you that you gave us a mind to be in the house of prayer today. We give you the praise for what you've already done for us in our lives. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. As we come today, God, as we come at this moment, we intercede for one another. We're praying for the persons whose hands we hold. We call their name out before your altar. We cast their cares at your feet because we know you are a healing and a delivering and an answering God. And God, we concur like the choir just sang, there is no other way that we can live without you. We need you every moment, every second of it, every moment of the day. So we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would have your way. Speak to us, feed us, nurture us, meet our needs, O Heavenly Father. We pray for not just the people in this building, but our brothers and sisters around the world. We pray for those around the nation who join us through internet and television and radio, Father, or some other means. We pray that you'd speak and just make it known. Father, I pray a hedge around this place now that you bind every demon, every distraction, rebuke the spirit of discouragement and bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Save somebody today. Restore somebody. Reclaim a soul in Jesus' name. Edify the saints and let the name of the Lord Jesus get all of the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at your neighbor and say, this is a Bible study. Go ahead, you know the rest of it. Go ahead. The pastor bringing Bible study to you because you don't come to Bible study. Did y'all tell him that? Now, I'm going to read a passage to you. Let me tell you what I'm going to talk to you about first before I read it to you. I want to talk about how you determine who you should marry. Now, where the single people at? Let me see the single people, all the single people. It's a whole heap of y'all. Okay. Now, married people, don't turn me off, because you need this too. Because you need to teach your children and your grandchildren who they should marry. Now, I did this teaching already for Tuesday night Bible study a few weeks ago. I'm in a series on relationships that we're doing on Tuesday nights. And the majority of the church doesn't come to Tuesday night Bible study. Look at your neighbor and say, that would be you. Go ahead, look at him. So I have to bring it to you because this is such an important message. This is a very important teaching that everybody needs. And I thought I'd bring it on a Sunday morning. We're going to look at various verses and I'm going to give you 5 points and then I'm going to be done. Now, I'm already telling you this is a tough message. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, this is tough. Look on the other side. Tell them on both sides. This is a tough, tough message. You're not gonna like all of it. Tell me you're not gonna like it. A few weeks ago, sometime last year, I did some teachings to the singles. I went to the singles ministry, and I said some things there that some of the singles didn't like. Matter of fact, one of the singles left the church because of what I said. And one of our members came and told me, and said, "Pastor, would you call her and apologize for what you said?" Here's what I said. I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, all singles are not going to get married. I know y'all don't want to hear that. I know that y'all don't believe that, but that's true. All singles, I guess she wanted me to just lie to her and say, all the singles are going to get married. Please know about this, your pastor here, right here. I am not going to lie to you, knowing. It was a message she didn't want to hear. And what I'm going to tell you today is some stuff you don't want to hear. But I have a responsibility to give it to you, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Then I'm going to slide down to verse 6. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Go ahead. Let me let that sink in for the 12 o'clock crowd. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Look at your neighbor, say, get your own, get your own. Slide down to verse 6. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control. Look at your neighbor and say, that would be you. Go ahead, tell them. Let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Y'all already kicking back already. I ain't even got started. You can be seated. Next to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who you marry is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. Let me wait for the rest of y'all to catch up with that very profound thing. It's very important. It's a very important point. It's more important than the job you take, the college you go to, more important than the house you buy. Who you marry, because they have the potential of making your life joyful or a nightmare. But I discovered that, and I'm talking about this today because I'm coming into contact with more and more people that are getting married to the wrong people for the wrong reasons. And I feel compelled to talk about how you discern who you're supposed to get married to. Now, again, I want to say to the singles, take good notes. You ain't got to agree with everything I'm about to say, but I want you to be exposed to it. You will not stand before God and say that Pastor Jenkins didn't tell you. And to the married people, amen, go ahead, give the Lord a shout right there, amen. And to the married people, I want you to listen, pay attention, because your kids and your grandkids need to know. And you have a role, parents, in helping them discern who they're supposed to marry. Now I got 5 points, and I'm going to give you these 5 points, and then I'm going to have the security usher me out of here. Here's number one. When you get married, you need to know what the salvation status is of the person you're going to marry. Matter of fact, not just their salvation status, what is their spiritual status? Because the Bible is crystal clear about this. This is no question that the Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, let me tell you this too. I don't have time in this message to wait for y'all to find the passage and stuff like that. So jot it down. It'll be up on the screen and you can go and read it again in your leisure time. But I got several verses I want to look at, and a lot I don't want to talk about, and I want to get through it before you fall asleep. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 and 15 says this. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 and 15 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Did y'all see how long it took y'all to clap on that one? And still everybody ain't clapping. "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" It is crystal clear that the instructions of the Word of God to us is not to be unequally yoked together, married to, connected with a person who is not a believer in Jesus Christ. It's crystal clear. But yet a whole lot of y'all are dating people, courting people, spending time with people who are not saved, don't go to nobody's church, don't have no spiritual interests, and you're totally disregarding the instructions of God. As a matter of fact, just because they go to church don't mean they saved. Go ahead, tell your neighbor that. As a matter of fact, my encouragement would be it should be two growing Christians, two Christians that are headed in the same direction. Not that they have to be at the same level, but they have to be headed in the same direction. If one is growing and the other one is not growing, you're still headed in two opposite directions. I'm amazed at the number of people I talk to who are about to get married or contemplating marriage, and I say, "Well, is your potential saved?" And they tell me they don't know. I want to know, what do y'all talk about? How could you not know, when you're spending all this time and all this energy, how could you not know the spiritual status of that person? Here's the deal. If a person has a walk with God, somehow, some way, it's going to come out. It's going to be manifested. Either they'll talk about something God told them, something God did for them, some scripture that they read, some message that they heard, some prayer that God answered. Ought to be some sign. If you are a believer, there ought to be some sign somewhere, in some capacity, somewhere, somehow, sometimes, God ought to do something for you, and you ought to be talking about it. And so I would challenge you, not only that they're saved and that they're growing, but that they are also, here's another important thing, committed to a local church. I got a lot of concerns about people who just go to church but are not submitted. Jot these verses down. Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17 talks about the importance of being committed and under the umbrella of a church. And if a person is not under the umbrella of a local church, that's pride. That's arrogance. Scripture says, "Remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow." Verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls." That's Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17. God wants us clearly to be under the umbrella and under the authority of a local church. And there's a problem if you are courting somebody and they don't feel like they need a church. Go on, preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best I can. That's the first question you got to ask. And matter of fact, this is something you ought to be have a standard established even before you start courting the person. Before you go on the first date, you need to find out, where is you with Jesus? Now, I know some of y'all think God called you to do some missionary dating, some evangelistic dating. No, that's not Bible. That's the devil telling you to do that. Amen. Number two, you need your parents' blessings. Y'all see how the claps are getting lower and lower with each one? And as I go through each one of these different things I'm going to talk about, it's going to get lower and lower because I know it's going to be difficult. But here's what Proverbs 21 and 6 says. Jot it down. Read it when you get an opportunity. It's a very important passage. And also Ephesians 6 verse 1. Jot that verse down. Ephesians 6 1. Proverbs 21 and 1 is one of the cornerstone verses of my life that I believe Christians should know. I talk about it all the time. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The king, that represents the person who is in a position of authority. The king's heart, Proverbs 21:1, is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. What that means is this. God wants us to understand he controls the heart of the person who is in the position of authority. And if you want to know his will, find out how God has directed their heart. When you rebel against authority, you are rebelling against God. And so somebody said, what if I don't have my parents' blessing? Well, that's a sign that there might be something wrong here. That might be a sign to wait. Or it may be a sign that it's not the right person. Matter of fact, parents, let me talk to the parents for a minute. You have a role and a responsibility to give your children, when it comes to these matters as it relates to marriage, you should give them how your heart is inclined. Don't just consent to what they want to do. Tell them how your heart is inclined. A lot of parents give consent, even though they're not in favor. No, you should be honest with your kids. If you don't believe this is the right time or the right person, you should tell them. And I'm telling the children today, young adults, you get married, you don't want your parents just their consent. You want their full blessings. You want their amen. You want God to give you an amen on it. Somebody said, what if we can't get it? Well, if you feel so strongly that God has told you that this is the person, but your parents didn't give you the blessing, the two of you need to go and sit down with your parents and find out what the issue is and see if you can resolve what the issue is. Lean over, tell your neighbor, he's teaching and preaching better than you're saying amen. You want the blessings of your parents. It's a very important thing. Here's number three. I'm almost finished. I've only been up for like 10 minutes. Y'all ain't going to be saying that when y'all hear the rest of the stuff I got to say. Here's a third and important thing. It is, hear from God. You need to hear from God's voice. You need to ask God. However God communicates with you, ask him to communicate to you clearly this very important decision. It is the most important decision in life other than accepting Jesus. Ask him to talk to you. However, whatever it takes, whatever he needs to do, ask him to give you clarity. Because 1 Samuel 15, jot this down, verse 22, right in the middle of it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. God don't want you to sacrifice when it comes. He wants you to be obedient to him. Obey who it is, what it is he tells you to do. Now I wanted a word from God before I got married. I wanted a word from God. Matter of fact, I needed a word from God. I needed God to tell me clearly who I was supposed to be married to. Because, you know, I wanted to be married to the right person because, you know, I had hundreds of women chasing after me. Why y'all laugh every time I tell y'all that? And so I asked God to communicate to me through something called a fleece. Let me tell you what a fleece is. And I need to tell you, and I want to say this when I tell people this and teach it to you, that a fleece is a sign. You're asking God to show you a sign. That's what it boils down to. But That's where, when I asked God to give me the sign or the fleece back then, that's where I was in my walk with God. I wouldn't ask God for a fleece today because I've matured. I'm much more mature. I know the word. I know that I walk with God. I would never ask God to give me a sign. But back then, that's what I needed. And I asked God for a sign. So what I did was, I've told this 100,000 times, so just act like you never heard it if you already heard it. Say it for the people who haven't heard it. I bought an engagement ring. I put it in the glove compartment of my car. I locked it. I said the Lord to the Lord, if Trina is the one, have her ask me why the glove compartment is locked. And I figured I had decades of safety. Put it in the glove compartment, locked it. That was a Saturday. The next day I had to preach at a church in Washington, D.C., and she asked, could she go with me? So I swung around and picked it up. She got in the car. On the way, she said, I lost my glasses. I can't find my glasses. She started looking around my car for her glasses. She reached for the glove compartment and tried to open it and said to me, turned to me and said, why is your glove compartment locked? And so in the romantic setting of my old beat-up car, I pulled over on the side of New Hampshire Avenue and unlocked the glove compartment, took the engagement ring out, and proposed to the woman that I've now been married to for 36 years. That's what I needed to move forward. That's what I needed. I needed a confirmation from God. And I believe wherever you are in your walk with God, whatever you need God to do to give you clarity, He will do what it takes to help you understand what it is that you need to do and who you need to be married to, because that is a very important message and a very important decision in your life. He'll communicate it to you. And you need a word. You need a word from God. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a word from God. Look on the other side of you, on the other side. Say, you need a word from God. I'm almost finished. Here's number four. Y'all got number one, right? What was that? Salvation. What was number two? Parental blessing. Number three, hear God's voice. Here's number four. This is a tough one. You need to have a determination about your position on marrying somebody who has been previously married. I didn't expect to get a whole lot of amens on that point. But out of all of the things that I could talk to you about, y'all need to understand this is a very serious matter. Because according to Matthew 5, 31 and 32, jot that down, Matthew 5, 31 and 32, Matthew 19, verses 1 through 12, Mark chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, Malachi chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Get the tape. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Matter of fact, read that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 7. And there's a whole ton of other verses I could give you about the seriousness of divorce. However, this matter of divorce and remarriage is a very controversial issue. I recognize that. My position is I believe in one man being married to one woman for one lifetime. That's what I believe. Thank all 27 of y'all for that rousing affirmation. But I recognize that other people, lots of other people, have different views about it. It's very complex and it's very controversial. But I'm saying to you, you have to decide that. Some of you have gone through the pain, and I'm not saying this to you all because I'm trying to inflict any pain or guilt on anybody who's been divorced. But I am saying to anybody who's looking to get married, whether you've been divorced or whether you marry somebody who's divorced, you need to search the scriptures. Don't just make a decision based on how you feel. Read the Bible about it. Research it out and come to a conclusion and a conviction about the teachings of the Word of God. Because here's the bottom line. Whatever you decide, one day you'll have to stand before a holy God and give an account of what you did in that arena as it pertains to what this teaches right here. I don't care what the world says. The world will, you know, get married 10 times. Elizabeth Taylor told her husbands each time, I won't hold you long. She told all eight of her husbands that. Now, the truth of the matter is, when a person's been married multiple times, the problem can't be solely with all the jokers you get married to. Y'all don't like this kind of preaching, do you? They can't be the problem. And matter of fact, on this subject, I'm sorry I didn't have a nice make you shout message today. But if you take this and apply it to your life and get married to the right person, it will make you shout. I started to say something profound, but I forgot what I was about to say. I got distracted. Oh, what I was going to say is, a lot of people come to research the scriptures and they're already entangled in a relationship with somebody who's been divorced. And you need to understand, you need to determine this and study this before you are engaged in a relationship with somebody. That needs to be an issue that you resolve ahead of time. Because if you come to the scriptures and you already entangle with somebody who's been divorced, it's going to influence how you read the scriptures. Okay, y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm not doing this because I want y'all approval or y'all amen. I'm just trying to teach you, all right? Let me hurry up. Let me get out of here. Let me hurry up. Here's my fifth and final point. And I call this C checks. C, the letter C, checks. It is a number of C's. Words that begin with C that you need to check out. The first thing I'm going to give you is the reasons you shouldn't marry somebody. Don't base your decision to marry somebody on these C's. Number one, don't base it on the cars that they drive. Oh yeah, y'all need to understand, some people get attracted to somebody because of the car they drive. That car ain't going to last forever. Next C, don't marry somebody because of the curves she has. Somebody say curves. I mean, she's looking good now. Are y'all listening to me? But she ain't gonna be like that all the time. It's gonna get like this in a minute. Come on, somebody say, just like that. Look at your neighbor and say, curves don't last always. But you got attracted to the curves. But it ain't gonna be like that all the time. She's gonna lose that. You don't marry somebody because of their countenance or their cuteness or how handsome they are. You don't go by what the mug look like. Y'all put too much focus on external factors. You got to learn to look beyond what the person's external features are and learn to value and love people for who they are on the inside and not what they look like on the outside. You don't marry somebody because of how much cash they have. Y'all notice how the amens are getting lower and lower and lower. Some of y'all are attracted to people because they got money. You don't love the person, then you're pursuing stuff. What do you determine? What do you look for? You look for compatibility. Are we compatible? Do we have common interests? Do we have things that we like to do together? Do we have things that we both enjoy? That we both have interest in? Compatibility. And I'm not talking about... See, a lot of couples have an interest in sexual compatibility. You're not supposed to be having sex before you get married in the first place. Sex before marriage is wrong. It's a sin. I knew the 12 o'clock crowd would have a problem with that. I'm telling you the truth. And sex after marriage is wrong. If it's not with the person that you're married to. Yeah, the saints got real quiet on that one right there. Somebody back there said, that's right, Pastor. Who was that said that? But I'm not talking about sexual compatibility. I'm talking about life compatibility. Amen. You marry the person that you determine your life partner on compatibility. You also determine who your life partner ought to be on character. Do they have character? Can I talk about that for a couple minutes? I'm going to be finished. Because here's what I discovered. I'm 58. I've been preaching for 43 years. Pastoring 27, this church, another church for 3. My life is people. That's what I do every day. I live people, counsel people, talk with people, help people. And what I discovered by and large, people don't change. Minus an encounter with the Spirit of God, minus the Holy Spirit, that person gonna be the same after they get married. They the same as they were before they got married. I know you think you can change them. If they nasty before they got married, they're gonna be nasty after they get married. If they tell lies before you get married, they're gonna tell lies after you get married. If they treat you mean before you get married, they're going to treat you mean after. If they treat their parents mean, they're going to do the same thing after. If they don't respect authority before, they're not going to respect authority after. People primarily have the same character. Look at your neighbor and say, you nasty was nasty before, you're still nasty. And by the way, sex before marriage will blind you to a person's true character. You didn't see that they had a drunken problem. You didn't see that they used drugs because you were so infected. You were blinded by your immorality. You got blinded by it. And you get married. You say, I didn't know that they was this, but they had it. It was there. But sex blinds you to the truth. Amen. I knew y'all having a tough time. Competence. Write competence down. That's an important thing. Can I talk about that for a minute? Competence is the ability to practice some skills. And let me tell you something. Marriage is skill-based. You need skills to be married. You need to ask yourself the question, does this person have the competence? Do they have the skills to work? And do they have the ability to work on being married? Unfortunately, we have a lot of people that don't have the competence to be married. Let me give the next one, communications. I'm almost finished. I'm halfway through the list. Can y'all communicate? Do she listen or do she run her mouth all the time? Do she give you a chance to say anything? Does he talk? Does he communicate? Does he tell you when he's hurting? Does he speak out loud about what's bothering him? Does he communicate? Because a big part of marriage is communication. Here's the next C, children. How many children does he really have? How many baby daddy do she have? And how many children do you want to have? A big problem with marriage is that some people, one person comes into the marriage expecting a certain number of kids and the other one had a different number of kids. That can be a big issue with families. Let me talk about the next thing, cash management. Can they manage cash? Matter of fact, here's another one. These two go together. We have the couples in our church before they get married. We have them do a credit report. Yeah. Because the credit report is going to tell the story. It's going to tell you whether they got a lot of debt. It's going to, because when you get married to somebody, you are joining to their debt. You're bringing their assets and their debt, their liabilities into, y'all become one. So if they got a lot of debt, you're going to have a lot of debt when you get married. You're joining. It's a joining of assets. And the credit report's going to show whether they pay their bills on time, how much money they owe, who they walked away. It's going to tell you a whole lot about a person. And if they don't want you to do a credit report, that's telling you something too. Here's my next one. Continence. I need to explain to the 12 o'clock crowd what that is. Continence means self-control. Can you sexually control yourself? Because I know when you're single and you're not married, you want to get married, you think when you get married, it's just going to be sex all the time. People enter into marriage thinking that we're going to have sex all the time. And people enter it. I mean, I got married when I came home from work. When I got out the car, I was running and I was like... I thought I could be honest and transparent with y'all. Me and First Lady ain't got six kids from reading no books. Why you think we have an hour service? I'm hoping to get us up out of here. I don't know what might be. I'm trying to hurry up home. Come on, look at your neighbor. I'm trying to hurry up. But the truth of the matter is, there are seasons in a marriage when sex is off limits. It ain't going to be wild and crazy sex all the time. As a matter of fact, young men, the greatest thing you can give to your fiancé is to demonstrate that you have self-control. You need to know that you can contain yourself and control yourself. As a matter of fact, while I'm on this point, the ladies need to know that too, because the women today are more nasty than the men. That's true. Let me close on this final point. Determine your life partner on whether she can cook and clean. There's the seeds. If she didn't cook before she got married, she ain't gonna cook after she get married. She didn't keep her room clean before. She ain't gonna keep the room clean now. Both ways. She said, both ways, Pastor, both ways. I'm just saying. These are matters. Nobody ever bought a rolled up pack of quarters. I've been the pastor for 27 years. That's the first one, right? First time I did it. Listen, we laugh, but these are serious matters. Trying to help you singles out. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying right now, interceding for somebody today on the brink of a decision that could alter their life. And I pray now, Father, that you would help your sons and daughters to make wise choices and wise decisions. I'm praying, God, for people who've made bad decisions, that you'd give them another chance. You'd give us a heart to repent. Father, I pray, plead with you that there are troubled marriages in this, that are listening to this message right even now. But God, I pray that you would be the God that would step in and bring healing and deliverance to troubled marriages. That we could model to the world the love that you, Lord, have for your church. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, somebody needs forgiveness of sin. Somebody needs a walk with you. Somebody today, God, is here right now, that's right in this place, needs to rededicate themselves. Somebody needs a church. Somebody needs assurance. And I pray that you would draw them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and Give the Lord a shout if you don't mind. Let me ask you to do this. Just don't leave. Don't walk out right now. Just give me just a few minutes to reach for some souls. If you could just wait a few moments, I would deeply appreciate that. If you could talk to your neighbors. Are you saved? You need Jesus? Come. If you're backslidden, come. If you need a church home, you've been coming, or maybe you just need a church home, come. Right now would be the perfect time. Get out of your seat and make your way right here as quick as you can while the blood is running warm in your veins. That's right, come. Come, brother. Come, sister. So proud of you. So proud of you. So proud of you.